Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, whatever time zone it is for you. My name is Stacey Cox Giovanni. I am the host of Empowerment Radio for You. That is the number 4 and the letter U. It's my honor today to have on Giselle Rodriguez. Giselle is affiliated with the Florida Coalition Against Human Trafficking. And this is a passion for her. This is what they do, and they do it very well. She's trained staff member in numerous code enforcement, law enforcement, faith-based organizations, healthcare providers, social service providers, judges, and prosecutors. Giselle has also spoken to local high schools and colleges regarding the issues of human trafficking within the state of Florida. She's the founder of the Tampa Bay Rescue and Restore and the co-founder of Orlando Rescue and Restore. Giselle's been able to collaborate and volunteer as a trainer for the Organization of American States Anti-Trafficking In-Person Unit. Giselle's been able to train law enforcement officials, immigration officials, judges, prosecutors, and consular officials in the issues of human trafficking in countries that include Jamaica, St. Kitts, and various other countries throughout the Caribbean. Recently, Giselle was invited to partake in an anti-trafficking in-person strategic meeting, which will be taking place in the Ministry of Affairs office in Lima, Peru. And it is my great honor to bring on Giselle right now. You're doing wonderful work in your organization, Giselle. I'm so happy to have you on. This is something that is really needed to be addressed. This is rampant. Am I correct? Is this really a very serious issue right now?
It is definitely a serious issue. It's basically a violation against human rights, and this is something that's just not just happening here within the state of Florida, but throughout the country and really within pretty much every single country throughout the world.
Yeah, I'd like to kind of expound upon your organization, if we could, for a minute, Giselle.
Sure. Our organization was formed in May of 2004, and the reason, why it was formed is because, our founder, who has been working on these types of cases since 1999, was really finding it hard to be able to find service providers who would assist victims of human trafficking that were being recovered within the state of Florida. It was a huge challenge because a lot of domestic violence shelters or homeless shelters just really didn't understand the level of trauma that victims of human trafficking face. A lot of them just weren't equipped to deal with this specific type of victim. So in 2004, our founder, Anna Rodriguez, left the Collier County Sheriff's Office, where she was working as a victim advocate, and opened the doors to the Florida Coalition. And this was really done, again, to be able to help address the issue of victim services. You know, law enforcement and the prosecutors were doing an amazing job, but the service providers within Florida were really failing victims of all forms of human trafficking. So what Anna did was started training other service providers and reaching out to others and letting them understand, again, the different levels of trauma, you know, the trauma bonding that occurs between a victim and the trafficker. And what we started seeing is that little by little, more organizations were actually opening their doors to assist victims of human trafficking.
Would you explain a little bit what you just talked about, the trauma bonding?
Sure. One of the things that we know is that the traffickers are very intelligent men and women. These are men and women that look for people who are very hopeful, people who want to better themselves, want to be able to provide a better future for their loved ones. And what they'll do is they'll prey upon these people and offer them opportunities of a job, of education, of love, of stability. And what happens is the victims put all of their trust in this one person. And ultimately, that one person will betray them and enslave them and exploit them. So it becomes very hard for them to trust anyone or any situation. Now, what we see is that in many of these cases, the victims become dependent because the trafficker is the one who provides them with the little bit of food that they get, the clothing that they get, a roof over their head. And a lot of times, you know, the knowing what's going to happen to them if they stay with a trafficker isn't as scary as what the unknown could, you know, holds. So a lot of the victims don't come forward because they are afraid of the unknown. They don't really know who to trust. So you do see that there is some type of bond that forms. You know, you do see a lot of Stockholm syndrome. And some of the other things is, unfortunately, some of the traffickers will know that these victims have family members that the victims really do care about. And a lot of times the traffickers will threaten the lives of the loved ones. So again, those are other tactics that are used in order to keep the victims from leaving their situation.
Yeah. You know, and the U.S. passed the Trafficking Victim Protection Act in 2000. Tell us a little bit about that. What does that encompass?
Sure. Well, the Trafficking Victims Protection Act is a federal law. It was actually the very first law that was passed within the United States that not only defined what human trafficking is, but it also set out goals. This is a victim-centered law, which is great because we don't see too many victim-centered laws within the U.S. But the original goals of the TVPA were to prevent human trafficking from occurring overseas, to protect victims found within the United States, and to prosecute traffickers with harsher penalties.
Now, you're international and you're national as well. It's a Florida-based situation with you guys, but you are international and you're national as well. Is that correct?
Yes. Our founder is really the one that deals more on the international side. She's been to 47 different countries, just training social service providers, law enforcement, and prosecutors. I myself have only been to 5 different countries, so I pale in comparison to our founder. But what we know is that there are other countries who, again, are seeing that this is an issue. And because of the protocol that the United Nations passed that really defined, again, what human trafficking is, many of these countries, including the U.S., ratified this protocol, and this is why you see the U.S. and other countries involved in the fight against human trafficking. So a lot of times they need a little bit of guidance. They want to know, you know, what works, what doesn't. And because Anna was involved in the fight against human trafficking before the U.S. even had a law, you know, the very first case she worked on was instrumental in passing the Trafficking Victims Protection Act. So she is actually viewed as one of the pioneers of the anti-trafficking movement. So there are many countries who definitely want to learn more from, you know, the woman that really put this issue on the map.
You know, I'm going to present this scenario because just in case somebody in our listening audience is a victim and is still in the throes of being a victim and unable to reach out, what would you suggest that they do in order to be able to get in touch with you, to reach out to somebody for some help? Because, I mean, this is a devastating situation, and it's a fearful situation, as you said. And a lot of people are afraid to reach out because, especially if they're immigrants, they really don't know if this situation is amended and they're taken away from this perpetrator. Where do they go? How do they get back to their country land? What about the financial situation with that? Is there a way to address this on this show so if someone has these questions, these questions can be answered?
You know, one of the things that people have to understand is that, first of all, victims of human trafficking do not see themselves as victims. So we can put posters and commercials out there, and it's not going to reach them. The only reason why victims of human trafficking are being identified is because people in the general public, people within communities, have attended some type of awareness event where they're taught to look at or the indicators. You know, what are some of the potential indicators that might raise some flags that something's happening right in front of them? And all of the cases that have been located within the state of Florida happened because someone noticed that something wasn't right and really had that feeling in their gut that, you know, this someone needs to look into this. Now, people have called law enforcement has responded, and that's how these cases have been found. It's extremely hard, again, for victims to come forward because there's so many different things that are told to them. You know, not only are they afraid of the unknown, but in some situations, you know, they're often told that law enforcement won't believe them. And if law enforcement comes in, they're just going to get deported. They've been told, especially with American victims, you know, again, law enforcement's just going to see you as a prostitute. They're not going to care about you, and you're just going to get arrested. And historically, law enforcement was doing that. So unbeknownst to law enforcement, they were validating what the traffickers were telling the victims. So, again, calling 911 for victims of trafficking is not an option. Calling even our organization, to them, it's not an option because they have no idea who to trust anymore. So these cases are simply found because someone in the community said, you know, the lady that was painting my nails or the person who is serving my lunch at this particular restaurant, you know, something just didn't seem right. Or, you know, I keep noticing this 13-year-old girl, you know, walking the streets at 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, maybe I should call someone. So it's really due to people like you and your listeners that these cases are being uncovered.
You know what, I'm glad you opened that door. I'd like to segue into that, Giselle. Let's talk about some of the red flags that the general public can look for.
Sure. You know, one of the things that we often tell people to look for is really the body language. Most of the times, victims of human trafficking are afraid to make eye contact with people. They won't look you in the eyes. A lot of times, they look very tired, very worn out. You're going to notice that in some situations, they're going to seem very anxious, very fearful, very hypervigilant. So body language is extremely important. And again, when you start seeing some of the ways that victims of trafficking react, you know, it really makes you feel a little uncomfortable. So if you have that feeling, it's good to start watching what's happening around them. You know, is someone watching over them? Is someone, you know, paying close attention to how you're interacting with this potential person? Those are clues that, again, will kind of help you, you know, say like, okay, something isn't right with the situation. Now, some of the other things that we know, especially with victims of trafficking, is that everything they do is very restricted and controlled. You know, oftentimes the traffickers will tell them, you know, what to say, what not to say, when to eat, when they're not allowed to eat. Understand that with victims of human trafficking, their freedom has been stripped away. So their freedom of movement, freedom of choice, they don't have that option. So you're going to see that, again, everything they do is just very controlled, very, you know, people are going to be monitoring everything that they're doing. In some situations, you will notice that there are large amounts of people living in a home. There was a case in Clearwater, Florida, where there was 27 males and females rescued from a Chinese restaurant, and those 27 people were split into two groups and housed together in a two-bedroom apartment. So when you see that many people, you know, again, you know, 14 people per a two-bedroom apartment, not to say immediately that's human trafficking, but you want to start looking at the people, you know, when they're actually coming out of the apartment. You know, are they all piling up into the same van? You know, are they looking down? Is someone, you know, monitoring them from the point they leave the apartment into the car or vice versa? So definitely if you start noticing, again, where there's large amounts of people and it looks like they're under someone's control, you know, you definitely want to call law enforcement over that. Some of the other things that we also let people know is that if they see injuries from beatings, signs of torture, you know, of course, you want to start paying attention to what's happening around that person. One of the things that we know is that when victims of trafficking are recovered and are sent to our program, we definitely do see signs of malnourishment. As I mentioned before, the traffickers, yes, they're the ones who feed the victims, but oftentimes, you know, if they misbehave or they don't make enough money, as a form of punishment, you know, food and sleep are withheld from them. So you definitely do see, again, signs of malnourishment, signs of sleep deprivation. So you definitely want to look for that. With Americans who are forced into the commercial sex industry, one of the things that we do notice is that a lot of the women will have a tattoo on their neck or on their chest with a name, the name of their trafficker ultimately. So a lot of times when we see these type of tattoos, you know, we definitely do incorporate that in a conversation, and we try and learn a little bit more about the meaning behind that tattoo. So a tattoo can really tell you a lot about what's happening within that person's life or situation. And ultimately, you know, if you are able to talk to them and they continue to talk about the fact that they're indebted to this person and they can't leave the situation because of their debt, again, you want to start paying attention to some of the other things that are happening around that particular person.
You know, I did an interview on a lady in California, and she was a victim of human trafficking, and her pimp got a hold of her. I think she said she was 17, and I mean, it was a horrendous situation, and she was fearful. And I mean, he worked in collaboration with other people. When he wasn't around, he made sure she was watched, and the other people were watched as well that he had around him. And you know, she said that, you know, she was fearful to go against him for a lot of reasons, but she was also fearful that, you know, the police would just lock her up and she'd be labeled a prostitute and that would be the end of it. And, you know, sooner or later she'd get bonded out and she'd have to go right back into the same situation. And she felt humiliated, terrified, and she, again, like you said, she didn't know who to trust.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And this is something that, you know, we just don't see with sex trafficking, but we see that with labor trafficking, and we also see that with domestic servitude. And, you know, unfortunately, what's happening within the anti-trafficking movement is that, you know, forced labor, which is labor trafficking and domestic servitude, are actually the bigger issue happening within trafficking, but that's the type of trafficking that is least talked about. And one of the problems is, you know, with sex trafficking, a majority of us aren't the ones who are feeling that industry. But if you look at the products that you consume, whether it's the clothing that you're wearing, whether it's the electronics that you're using, whether it's the food you're eating, there is slave labor attached to it. So unfortunately, because we have to look at ourselves and say, wow, you know, our dollars are the ones who are fueling slave labor. Uh-huh. You know, as consumers, we're telling corporations it's okay to enslave people because these jeans are really nice looking, and I've got to make sure I look good. But because we're doing that, you know, that's the type of trafficking that no one really wants to touch upon. And, you know, uh-huh. I've worked hands-on with victims of labor trafficking and domestic servitude, and they suffer just as much as victims of sex trafficking. But again, it's not that type of trafficking that people really want to talk about, which is sad.
Oh, that's very true. So I know, because I work with victims of domestic violence and sexual assault in my practice, and I'm a survivor. And I know there's restitution involved with that for the victims. At least I'm from Chicago originally. At least in Chicago there was. I'm not sure what the laws are here because I've just moved here. Is that a situation as well with the victims of human trafficking? Is there restitution for them? Is there any compensation for them so they can be able to get back on their feet and start to get their lives back together?
Yes, under the Trafficking Victims Protection Act, there is actually the Bill of Rights, And under the TVPA's Bill of Rights, it specifically states that victims of human trafficking are entitled to restitution.
Okay. And then you direct them to, I mean, that's a trauma. If you're a victim of human trafficking in any way, shape, or form, that's a trauma that needs to be addressed. So they come to you, they're able to come to you to be able to get help in that fashion, and you work in correlation with other areas to where they can get housing, or what if they have to go back to another country from which they're from? Say if they're from Chile or they're from Belize or somewhere, how do you play into a role with that?
Well, one of the things that's important for people to understand is that with victims that are coming from other countries, under the Bill of Rights, again, through the TVPA, they have that option to go home. So if that's what they're choosing to do, then at that time there is an organization that can assist them in getting back home, and they will assist with repatriating them into their home country. Now, one of the things that we know is that if law enforcement is able to successfully dismantle the organization here, that doesn't necessarily mean that that organization back in their home country was also dismantled. So sending them back to their country could ultimately end them in a situation where they're re-trafficked or they're harmed or even killed. Now, because of this, many of the victims are afraid to go back home because they know the consequences that they could potentially face because someone within that trafficking ring was arrested. So one of the things is that if the victim is willing to cooperate through or with law enforcement, federal law enforcement can actually give them temporary status to stay within the U.S. And this is good, too, because you have to understand that the main piece of evidence for law enforcement to be able to investigate and for prosecutors to prosecute these cases is the victim themselves. If they get deported, we really don't have a case. So it's important that the victims stay within the U.S. and work side by side with law enforcement, because with that, then they can also provide law enforcement with other information that then law enforcement can use to help build the case and really build the case to where the testimony of the victim isn't going to be necessary. But again, in order to do that, they need the victim to remain in the U.S. Once the prosecution is over, again, if they choose to go home, there is an agency that assists them with that. But if they, again, are still in fear of going back home, they can then apply for the trafficking visa or T visa, which allows them, again, to remain in the U.S. for 4 years. And after that, they can then choose to become or apply to become a permanent resident of the United States.
That's a good point, you know, because I think it's really important for the safety and the well-being of the victim to be able to rebuild their lives. I mean, my God, their whole lives have been really taken away from them by these traffickers. Let me ask you a question: is there like an age range, or I mean, who do you normally see to be the victims? I mean, at what age do they normally start? Is there an age or?
Not necessarily. I mean, we have seen clients as young as 14, but we've also seen clients that were recruited and trafficked, you know, in their late 40s and early 50s. So we've really seen various types of a very big age range. The majority of victims of human trafficking are actually adult, although, again, most of the awareness and the spotlight is more geared towards child victims. You actually see that there are way more adult victims than anything else. And these were adults that were recruited as an adult, not necessarily as a child. So, unfortunately, we're definitely missing the boat again because everything is so focused on children who are recruited as children. But what we see, especially with domestic minor sex trafficking, the average age of entry is anywhere between 14 and 15. Now, most of the time, when law enforcement do recover victims of DMST, you do see that they're usually between 15 and 17.
Mm-hmm. You know, I read an article that was talking about how these traffickers, recruit victims and then actually mold them and train them to go out and recruit other victims for them.
That is correct. We see that with domestic trafficking, not so much with international trafficking. And it's important to note that we can't blanket the issue, because what we see American traffickers do is completely opposite from what we see international traffickers do.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I'd like to ask you, if someone wanted to get involved with your organization, what would be the process for them to be able to get involved and make a difference and really be a voice as well for victims of trafficking?
Sure. If they want to get involved, they can reach out to the Florida Coalition Against Human Trafficking. Our website is www.stophumantrafficking.org. And under our contacts, you will find our email specifically for volunteers. And that specific email is fcatvolunteers@gmail.com. Of course, they can also call us at 727-442-3064 for additional information.
You know, this is something that, you know, and I, like I said, I just moved to Florida, but, you know, I've been made aware by other organizations and things that I've read that Florida has been recognized as having some of the highest incidence of human trafficking. Why do you think that is?
Well, one of the reasons, and unfortunately some people see that statistic, you know, that we receive the third highest amounts of phone calls within the U.S., but you have to remember that Florida really did take a lead in raising awareness. We were one of the first states to pass a state human trafficking law. And again, you know, with the efforts of Anna Rodriguez, you know, working on this issue since 1999 and her being able to reach out to so many different organizations, you know, with the awareness came the fact that people were reporting these cases. You know, human trafficking has always happened. You know, many of us are led to believe that slavery was abolished 150 plus years ago. And unfortunately, that's not true. It was always happening. It just looked a little bit different than what we were taught. So now that modern day slavery was giving the name of human trafficking and people started talking about it, well, people started recognizing that, you know, victims on their caseload actually fit that definition of human trafficking. So DCF started seeing an increase in calls being made to the child abuse hotline for child trafficking. The hotline started getting more calls. Law enforcement started getting more calls. So that's really, it really is attributed to awareness and not so much that we're one of the worst places or, you know, this is, you know, happening here because we're a more tourist, you know, tourist attraction or because we have a lot of agriculture. As I mentioned before, it's always been happening. And what we see is that in other states, that the more awareness is raised, the more of an increase you see in reports being made on the issue of human trafficking.
And, you know, and I think it's so important that this be addressed because, you know, I mean, domestic violence has been prevalent for years, just like human trafficking has. Sexual assault has been prevalent for years. People have come forth to be advocates for domestic violence and sexual assault, and I'm glad that they do. I'm an advocate for both of them, and I think it's so important that human trafficking be right up there with the domestic violence and sexual assault in terms of the awareness and with the public as well as the judicial system as well as the police officers. I mean, everybody needs to be aware of the human trafficking issue that's just prevalent everywhere. And I do agree. When I read that, I was like, yeah, that's, Yeah, Florida, but hello, you know, there's a lot of other states that have the same situation. I mean, this is a worldwide situation.
Absolutely. And you know, I've been into other states and I've trained, you know, again, law enforcement and service providers in other states. And some of the people in other states have said, you know, we've brought this to the attention of the sheriff. And the sheriff says, you know, I really don't want that, you know, that dark cloud or that black mark over our county. So, you know, we're not going to deal with these type of cases. You know, I've met detectives who have said, we have come across this, but we were told by our higher ups to stop investigating this and pretty much sweep it under the rug. So believe me, this is happening everywhere. But the thing is, Florida, instead of sweeping it under the rug, is saying, you know what? Absolutely, human trafficking does happen here, and we're going to do something about it. You know, not every single state has an attorney general who goes up and says, you know, Florida is a zero, or our state is a zero tolerance zone for human trafficking. But Attorney General Pam Bondi did that a couple of years ago. So we're not, like I said, trying to sweep it under the rug. We are facing it head on. Which is why, again, you're going to see that more reports are going to be made in our state, because we're open about it and we talk about it and we have awareness campaigns that really, again, get people thinking about, you know, what's happening, you know, in their own backyard. And, you know, what's interesting is if you look at the statistics for 2014 versus 2013, we actually saw a decrease in the state of Florida for cases of human trafficking. So we're still trying to figure out if that's a good thing or a bad thing. You know, we're trying to figure out why there was that decrease. But it's still important to note that, you know, there absolutely was a decrease.
You know, I can relate to that. In Chicago, I'm on the Speaker's Bureau for RAIN. As a survivor, and I do awareness speaking for domestic violence and sexual assault. And I went to I won't name the police organization, but I went to a suburban police organization and asked the sergeant there to, if he would assign a female police officer to go out and do speaking awareness, because I think it's very important that the police make a presence, a positive presence in that arena. Because a lot of people are afraid of the police and won't go forward because they don't know how they're going to be perceived. And he proceeded to tell me, well, you don't want that to happen because our female police officers aren't compassionate for that. I was like, oh, okay. I was glad I was sitting down, because that just really kind of took me aback a bit. But I think it's so important that the police department and the judicial system and the people that have a say in being able to help people in domestic violence, in sexual assault, in human trafficking, are really aware of what's going on and really take a step forward and be a positive of you know, arena in this, because, I mean, these are the people that are going to be turned to, and if they turn their back on it, that's just a sad situation.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I'm going to get ready to close down here, and I do thank you so much for being on my show. If you could be so kind again, Giselle, as if you could give us your contact information again for anyone that would like to get involved with your organization. You have training. Do you have training for people that would like to come in and volunteer for your organization?
Yes, absolutely. So if they visit our website, which again is www.stophumantrafficking.org, they'll be able to learn more about, again, what it is that we do, and they can read our blogs, they can connect with our social media pages, and really, again, get to know what's going on within the field of human trafficking. And then under the contact list, they'll see our email for our volunteers, our volunteer opportunities. So they're more than welcome to email us or give us a call at the office.
I appreciate your time, Giselle. I mean, you have a busy, busy day. I know you do. So I really appreciate your time coming in and giving us all this valuable information. Again, ladies and gentlemen, this is Giselle Rodriguez from the Florida Coalition Against Human Trafficking. And thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to come in and give us this valuable information and be a voice for the people that need our voices out here. And for everyone who would like to get involved with them, please do give them a call and be a volunteer, be a voice for the people that have no voice so they can get out of this horrendous situation. Thank you so much, Giselle, for your time. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay. That was Giselle Rodriguez again. And, oh, my God, this, you know, this topic is something that really needs to be addressed. It can't be swept under the rug. It just can't be. Same as domestic violence and sexual assault. It is reality. People don't want to realize that it's reality, but it is. I've been on the air with Giselle, and it's been great. It's been wonderful every week at Thursday at 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm sorry, 12 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I will be here with someone that is an expert in their topics, and I am Stacey Cox Giovanni, and I am the host of Empowerment Radio for You. That is the number 4 and the letter U. I am the for you girl. Everyone have a wonderful day, and I am the owner also of Lifetime Success for You, the number 4, the letter U. You can email me at Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y, at Lifetime Success for You, or you can get on my website. There's a number to reach me. If you have some things that you'd like to talk to me about, that would be great. Until then, you have a wonderful day. Move forward with confidence, and until next time. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great day. Bye-bye.